You're listening to Speaking of Faith with Bishop Dede Duncan Proby of the Episcopal Diocese of Central New York. I'm Rachel Ravalette, or Romcom, and we're glad you're here.
Hey, friends, welcome to the podcast, Speaking of Faith. Speaking of faith, how is your faith? How are you doing in your life of faith? In these days, in these times, our faith is something that needs attention, I think. There's so much fear around us and so much opportunity to kind of be pulled away in different directions that in this podcast, we're speaking of our faith, talking about what we think are the most important aspects of our life, what we believe about God and ourselves. My name is Dede Duncan Proby. I am the diocesan bishop of the Episcopal Diocese of Central New York. I'm joined by Rachel Ravalette, our communications director. If you're wondering where the Diocese of Central New York is, it's in the state of New York between between Canada and Pennsylvania, Utica and Elmira, Finger Lakes, Thousand Islands, lots of beautiful people and places in between those spots. So today we're going to talk a little bit about our faith as concerns this thing called a calling. We have in the Episcopal Diocese a commission on ministry, and the commission on ministry is there to support people as they discern a call to holy orders and discern their call for ministry in the parishes. Most often people think of callings as having to do with deacons or priests, people who think they might be called to be either one of those vocationally. But in fact, in the Episcopal Church, the laity, the people who are not ordained, are really understood to be the ministers of the church, the people who are sharing the love of Jesus and doing the work of the church, singing in the choir, being in the altar guild, being involved in the vestry, being involved in ministries or soup kitchens. The laity are the people of the church and the people who are actively ministering in the church. Our deacons are a holy order who are ordained and do go through a discernment process and preparation. Deacons are the order that connects the church with the world with the church. They're our missioners, the people who help us conceive of and be engaged in mission beyond church walls, and so empowering the laity to grow in their skills for mission and outreach and inreach and all of these ways that we talk about this. Some of those old language ideas about reaching outside the church. In today's Episcopal Church, we understand that the church is all the world, that it is not about a brick wall or a location, geographic necessarily. It is about what God is doing in all of humanity. So deacons help us in our mission of sharing the love of Jesus with all people. And then, of course, priests in our diocese, our priests in our churches are the people who are preaching and teaching, preparing the laity for their ministry, who are working with the deacons and who are nurturing the body of Christ in the celebration of the Eucharist and the liturgy. The priests are also ordained separately from deacons. And so we have these orders of ministry, the way that it's structured. So how does that translate in our ministries together? Well, I'm the bishop, and the bishop has oversight of all of this in the diocese. And there's a whole bunch we could say about the Episcopal ministry. But what I want to talk about is the ministry of the laity, and especially the discernment of laity and the discernment of those who feel they might be called to be a deacon or a priest. It is true that in our church right now, we have a priest shortage. And we also have this time where I think our lack of formation in some ways, but in other ways, there's all kinds of, we can talk about, you know, what's at fault or what we should have done. But this is where we are, where people growing in their faith is part of what we are doing right now. And so I've gotten way off the field. Let's go back to, how does this relate to your call? Okay. So how does this relate to your call? Well, what is it that you would love to see the church do? Or what would you love to be part of the church doing? What is kind of on your heart when you think about, gosh, it would be so great if my parish did X? Gosh, I would love to be part of a church that was involved in. Wouldn't it be so great if when we got together in church, we could fill in the blank? Those things that are on your heart that are compelling to you, that would be exciting or interesting to you, are probably also interesting and exciting to other people. And it may be that God has put that on your heart as part of your call to bring it up, to say to your priest or deacon, hey, I was thinking the other day when I was praying, it would be so great if we could fill in the blank. And then if the priest says, well, we will can never do that because of the X, Y, and Z, then you could say, oh, well, then maybe I need to go to another church. No, but I really feel called to this. I'm really wondering about this. I'm wondering how might we reach out in these ways? The things that are life-giving in your faith are callings. Things that help you find a greater connection with Jesus are callings. Too often we think a calling is something that we do, or like the right and wrong thing that we have to find, instead of understanding that our calling is a being thing. It's about being who God has called us to be. What would help you be more fully and whole as God's follower? What is it that you need to know or to understand or to grow in? What is happening for you that where you might feel more empowered to live the way Jesus is calling us to live? I don't know, Rachel, if you have thoughts as in talking about this sense of call, but I want to make sure that I leave opportunity for you.
Well, Bishop, I was just thinking about, you know, if we all have a call, that's not language we often hear in our churches. It's not language we often engage in as lay people. Mm-hmm. And I wonder if there's like some misconceptions, some myths we could bust around that about what discerning a call is like. I wonder about this. It feels like such a big thing.
Yes.
And I wonder if some people maybe think there's a pressure to quote, get it right. And maybe if we need to separate that category from this discussion.
I love that because I think those are really good points to bring up because we all have a calling because we have all been invited into a relationship with our deepest selves with God. Because you're listening to this podcast now because you are part of a church or part of a faith tradition, whatever that may be, where you feel called to think about what is faith and these deeper meanings of life. All humans have a sense of deep connection with something, whether it's nature or other people or a sense of call or duty. As people who love Jesus, we all have a calling to be the person God's created us to be. In the Christian tradition, we talk about God being the creator of all. And one aspect of that is to say God has created all of us to be who we are and to be our person, and that is part of God's great tapestry in the community of God, whether we talk about kingdom or kingdom. In the community of God, there's this tapestry of persons that are all created in the image of Jesus, and only together when we are part of that tapestry and alive to it, do we begin to see that Jesus is with us. When two or three are gathered in my name, we hear Jesus say that as we come together as God's people, that as our authentic whole selves, growing in the love of Jesus, exploring what loving Jesus means in our lives, that in those ways, we find our true purpose. And we may be a lawyer by day, and in our law practice and in how we live our vocation or our avocation or our profession, however you think of it most readily, that those aspects of our faith continue to be relevant. We don't park our faith at the church door when we're walking out and say, okay, well, I'll leave this here until I pick it up next week. It goes with us. It walks with us. So in each aspect of our lives, no matter what our job may be in the week, our calling is to be God's people in this world, speaking about Jesus, paying attention to, are we loving our neighbors ourselves? Are we offering a cup of cold water in whatever way we can do that? Are we living our most authentic lives? And then in the church, yes, we have deacons and priests and these holy orders. And so for some of us, as we are going about our life and we're living our faith and our profession and going about our day, we realize that there's this sense that what we're called to do is something more, is to take a next step in our own sense of what that step may be. And so in that, being a deacon, I think, you know, with deacons, there are people that you'll meet them and you think, gosh, this person has such a call to the diaconate, because all they think about is mission. How could we help this group of people feed themselves and be empowered to be their whole life-giving self? How can we address social injustice? How can we go out and minister in jails and prisons and make sure we're bringing the love of Jesus to places where people are burdened and kept from the love of God? And so a call to the diaconate is often manifest in a deep passion for social justice and inclusion and empowerment of other people. And with priestly ministry, this desire to be a cheerleader, to be a coach, to help people, to preach, to teach. We read the morning news and we instantly start writing a sermon in our head of what we want to say about where is Jesus in that situation and how might we proclaim Jesus here. Our sense of calling just comes out of us and is reflected back to us. I'm always worrisome about people who will say, well, I have a calling to be X, separate from whatever entity it is. Recently, a person came to me and said, I feel called to be a priest, but the church has said no to me twice because the church just doesn't understand I'm called to this. And I had to counsel the person and say, you know, a call to the priesthood is a mutual discernment. It's the church saying, we see this call in you. And you saying, you know, I feel that call in me too. Or a call to the diaconate, I feel called to this. And the church saying, I see that call in you too. Calling is affirmed in community. It's not a singular act. We're not in this solo all by ourselves. We're in this to love Jesus and love God and to seek and serve Christ in other persons, to be a living part of God's tapestry as we are. So it isn't about getting it right in terms of guessing the right occupation. It's about getting it right in terms of being in a relationship with God, with the humility and curiosity to be growing in our faith and to do those things that help us to grow.
Well, Bishop, I'm struck in this conversation that foundation of this podcast, when we started it last year, was walking through the baptismal covenant. And that really is the foundation of this discussion as well. We all have these vows that we take in the baptismal covenant. Those of us in the Episcopal Church, and, you know, shameless plug, if you haven't listened to those episodes yet, head on back and listen to those. CNY.org or CNYEpiscopal.org/podcast. But those are the foundational vows for every order, for laity, for deacons. Some people may not know that our priests, before they are ordained to the priesthood, spend time in what's called the transitional diaconate, and they take those vows. And so it's cumulative. And so we all have this common purpose, and we express it in different ways.
That's right. And I think when I think back when I was a layperson, I felt called to love Jesus and love my neighbor as myself and to talk about faith in my life and pray for my hurting world. When I was ordained to the transitional diaconate and then to the priesthood and now as a bishop, my calling is to love Jesus and to love my neighbor as myself and proclaim the redeeming love of Jesus to the world. That how we do that may change based on whether we're a lay person or a deacon or a priest or a bishop. But what stays the same, which is to be a child of God, growing in our faith, seeking to serve Christ in all persons, and as you say, living that baptismal covenant as we are and as we are becoming. Our journey of faith is not about choosing the right thing. A call is really about a walk. It's about the path, really, that we're walking a road. And our calling is to take the next step on that road and to discover what's around the next bend that God is calling us to do and to be. But it is really a calling of being, that in each role we may find ourselves, in each situation,
Our calling is to listen for the voice of the Spirit, to seek and serve Christ in other persons, to work for justice, and to repent of those things we do that harm others, the places where we need repentance. And repentance is core to a call, because a call isn't an easy thing. I think we also think a call is going to be sort of sunshine and roses or something, but really a call involves suffering. I mean, when we take up our cross daily to follow Jesus, we're laying down our self-righteousness, or we're laying down our own self-determination, and we're saying, I'm going to take up the call of God, which means, like Peter, I may go where I do not want to go and have to face things I didn't want to face, but not in a harsh way where God doesn't love us, but in a way where God's inviting us to deeper living. There are times when callings are quite hard, and we may need to step back from calling for a while to heal and be restored, because humans are, we all need repentance. And there are times when we are, when it's challenging to be a person in faith, a person of faith, a person working in the church. But all of us are called to be about the teachings of Jesus. I'm reminded in this in Acts of when Saul has his conversion, becomes Paul, and first goes to the other disciples. They do not receive him. There's acrimony in the ranks. There's conflict in the early church where people are trying to figure out their call, and they're, you know, like Paul later says, like iron sharpening iron, that we incite one another to good works. And sometimes there's a bumping into each other that happens in the church where we are trying to figure out our calling, or we may feel something very deeply and another person does not. But like Peter and Paul, that when we follow God, God will change our minds. We will repent and we will find a new way to be. Paul was not converted from no faith to faith. Paul was converted from one type of faith to a different faith. And we see in the gospel narratives that Paul was a persecutor of the early church who was converted by Jesus to be one of our real, I mean, the New Testament, we wouldn't have that without the life and witness of Paul. Peter follows Jesus, and yet at this critical moment with Jesus, tells Jesus, oh, no, you aren't supposed to go die. And Jesus actually says to Peter, get thee behind me, Satan. Get thee behind me, the oppositional force. You do not see what God is doing. Peter repents and even goes so far, of course, as denying Jesus, but then repents and is restored by Jesus. We all go through seasons of our ministry or seasons of our life where our calling may not be as clear as it once was, or we may find we need to repent and change our mind, open our eyes to what God is doing. My hope today, dear listener, is not to further confuse you, because callings are not linear. They're not, it's so sad in a way that they're not, you know, like geometry or something. 2 + 2 does not always equal 4.
That'd be a lot simpler.
It would be. I mean, if we could do, you know, geometry would be great because with shapes, but, you know, obviously with arithmetic or something, I guess it would be great if it was very concrete, operational. But actually, calling is about a being. Calling is really about God healing us, that as we are made new by the Spirit, as our old, these old wineskins, as we're made new and become a new thing, that our being is more capable of doing new things. See what I did there with being and doing.
But I like that.
It is in our life of faith, a calling is it's being on the journey of our faith and following where God leads and being open to what God may be inviting us to be part of. Because only when we say yes to God will we truly find the wideness and depth and mercy of the love of Jesus and its fullness for who we're created and called to be and to become.
Yep. And I just want to emphasize here what the fact that this is not static. Not only is the process not linear, but it's not like you have this non-linear process and then you get to it. This is my calling. And I think Peter is a great example of that, because you mentioned Saul's conversion to Paul in Acts 9. in Acts 10, Peter, who, you know, Jesus said, on this rock, I will build my church. He's really struggling with who is this church for? Who are we welcoming? And he has this conversion moment in this vision from God that says, no one, nothing God has created is unclean. And he changes his mind. And so it wasn't like he was doing the wrong thing before that. He was living in faith.
Right.
But his faith now called him to a new way.
That's right. And sometimes we can, something for a season is, it feels so like the right thing for us. And then all of a sudden the scales fall from our eyes and we think, oh, I didn't realize that while this may be good in this one place, this one way, in another way, it's keeping me from the fullness of God's mercy for me. And so like with Peter having to change his mind, we too have to change our mind. I mean, how many times have, you know, people before they've had children say, well, when I'm a parent, I will never fill in the blank. And
oh,
then of course,
famous last words.
No, there's nothing perfect. There's no perfect parent except those who don't have children. And so suddenly you have the children and you realize, wait a minute, I take it all back. And so Peter, you're absolutely right. Here's somebody who walked with Jesus, talked with Jesus. Oh my goodness, restored by Jesus. If anyone understands, it should have been Peter. And then Peter's like, no, Jesus didn't come for Gentiles. What are you talking about? And then God shows Peter, everything I've made is of value. And Peter is converted, just as you say, and repents. We all need Jesus and need that conversion to continue to grow and be whole. I love the analogy of a mountain, of driving around. If you've ever driven up and around a mountain, one of those where you go around and around. And at first, the view seems like it never changes. You keep seeing the same view. But then the longer you go, the more you realize you're seeing the same view, but from a very different vantage point. And more you're seeing it from a much more elevated and expansive and deep vantage point. We may be learning and relearning the same things in our faith of forgiveness, of restoration, of repentance, of peace, or whatever aspect we want to talk about, self-discipline. But the more we learn, the more we're seeing from different vantage points. And like Paul in Corinthians talking about love, that, you know, we're no longer a clanging gong, or but we become well-tuned to the love of God and able to see beyond our own limitations. And so, you know, I'd said to a parishioner one time, well, I'm learning to love God with all my heart, mind, soul, and strength, and loving my neighbor as myself, and I just hope I live long enough that I can actually get kind of good at it. And this person said, oh,
sure,
don't worry about it. You'll get there. And she said very like, sort of like, oh, don't worry about it. You'll get there one day. You'll get there. You'll understand it. As if she just had it on lock. And I was really struck by the audacity of thinking that you ever arrive on either of those things, because none of us do. These are lifelong pursuits. And I just hope, honest, I just hope I'm a little better at it by the end of my life than I was at the beginning, because we're constantly learning how to love one another and love all that God has for us, which is right out of our diocesan mission statement, learning to love God, one another, and all God's creation. Well, dear friends, a conversation about calling, I'm sure it will continue for all of us. My prayers are with you that as you consider what God may be calling you to do, that you'll begin with what God is in your being, that your growth, and that you'll know the love and mercy of God in your life, that you are beloved beyond measure by God, and that you have been created with joy, with purpose and hope, and that you will find in your local community and in others a real sense of encouragement as you're on your journey. And then, yes, in the Diocese of Central New York, our Commission on Ministry is in working with people on their calling to be deacons and priests, but also supporting those who are really interested in their calling as lay people. So join us in ministry. And until our next podcast, may you speak of your faith, may you know you are loved, and may you be a source of blessing to those around you. See you soon.
Thanks for joining us. Speaking of Faith with Bishop Dee Dee is a production of the Episcopal Diocese of Central New York. Our theme music is by Fleece Mob, and it's called A Bird in Hand. We use it with permission. Be sure to subscribe to our podcast through your favorite podcasting app so that you can be the first to know when new episodes are available. If you like what you've heard here, please leave us a rating and review. If you don't like what you've heard here, we're sure you're still a wonderful person, but maybe don't leave us a review? Just kidding. We love honest feedback and questions. You can connect with us online between episodes at cnyepiscopal.org/podcast and on social media at cnyepiscopal. Blessings to you, friends.